Well, we're going back to Proverbs. We're in the 31st chapter, and we're going to finish this up tonight. So I guess along those lines, you might be thinking, if you have some thought for a topic or something, see what the Lord leads. But if you have an idea, feel free to mention it to me. We'll pray about it. Proverbs chapter 31, and we've come down to verse 26, and so we don't have very many left, but some very important things in this verse. And as we've gone through this chapter, we've really concentrated on how this chapter speaks to us and applies in terms of the bride of Christ. And I said before, there's obviously some very good instruction here in terms of the natural, but in particular, we're concentrating on the thought about how this speaks to us and applies to the bride of Christ. We saw last time in verse 23, especially, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And you know, so it brings us to a thought about who he is and who she is. And something important for us to remember, that this woman, that the Bible speaks to us about as the bride of Christ, it's a very important and extremely amazing thing that this should be offered and made available. And so, of utmost importance to him, and therefore it ought to be of utmost importance to us as well. And as we come down to the end, we're going to see some characteristics of her that I think show a maturity that is important. Verse 26 says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." And so we've had a lot of thoughts as we come through Proverbs about the tongue and about the mouth and speaking and so on. Our speech and the things that we speak about and how we speak about them ought to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And it says here, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. I think there's two thoughts in here for me. One is about when to open the mouth. And we've had some thoughts along that line too. Sometimes it's better not to. But when to open the mouth, and then what comes out when it is open. In South America, there was an old proverb that says, an open mouth gathers no flies. Sounds a lot better when you say it in Spanish, but it's true if you think about it. The idea is that sometimes we need to speak a little less. But, you know, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And this, see, we're seeing her maturity here as we think about this. She has matured, and now she knows when to speak and what to say. And then it says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. And we'll think about that in a minute as well. But first of all, I want to go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." And that last part of that is the important piece of this thing, which is, it may minister grace unto the hearers. It's also good to the use of edifying. And, you know, I think more and more as I think about these things, that the Holy Spirit, I find checking me sometimes, things that I, you know, sometimes you're in the middle of something or you're hearing something and you just want to say something. And I find more and more often that the Holy Spirit is checking me. And it's with that thought right there. Is it going to edify somebody? Is this going to be of value and of edification to somebody? That's the question. Every time we start to say something, we might want to ask ourselves that question. Excuse me, but there'd be a lot less talking about silly things and useless things and worst of all, things that are that are the opposite of edifying. I can't think. Tear down, things that tear down. Be a lot less of that if people would ask themselves that question. What I'm about to say, is it useful to the edifying of somebody? I'm going to back up in this chapter 4 of Ephesians now, and in verse 14, he speaks above this about growing up, and in verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You see the connection here between the growing up and what comes out of the mouth. What comes out of our mouth, we've said this before many times, we've had this thought, but it comes from what's in the heart. And so just as in the natural, as we grow up, the way we think about things and talk about things changes. We leave behind some of that childishness that we had, and we become more mature. Well, spiritually speaking, we ought to also be maturing. And a lot of that will be shown, will be known in our speech, what comes out of our mouth. It says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. I thought that was interesting, the law of kindness. The word law there, by the way, is the word Torah, which speaks about the which is the word used to speak about the Jewish law, the first five books of our Bible. Man, why am I coughing so much tonight? That same word. But it says the law of kindness. And I thought about that, and I thought, wonder what, you know, what does that really mean? And so this thought came to me, and I'm going to go, since we're in Ephesians, I hope you stayed in Ephesians. I did. And if you didn't, let's go back to Ephesians, the second chapter this time, because there's something here that I think is at the very root of this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And it occurred to me that this is where it starts. It's where it started. Is his kindness toward us. Now, we had a lot of really good thoughts today about God's grace. Yeah, it's about God. I don't think that's it, unfortunately. I wish it was. No, that's not my throat. It's down deeper. he showed kindness toward us. And you have to kind of think a little bit about that. You know, as we had some thoughts this morning about God's grace, he showed a kindness toward us. And Paul says that in that while we were yet his enemies, he died for us. That's kind of the ultimate show of kindness, the ultimate demonstration. And I think that as God's children, as we grow spiritually, as we mature, we begin to understand this more, and it becomes a part of us because it's part of that life of Christ that is in us. Let's go back to the fourth chapter of Ephesians again, because there's some more in this chapter. Down at the very end of the chapter, in verse 31, he says, let all bitterness and wrath, thank you, all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And so we're encouraged here, by the way, right above this, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We're encouraged here to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, because we have been forgiven, and a forgiveness beyond what we will have to forgive someone else. And you might say, well, I don't know. They wronged me pretty badly. I don't think I can forgive that. Well, think about what our what our forgiveness cost our Lord. I think that was pretty bad. Worse than anything that we will be, in any way that we will be wronged. And so he says, be kind. And so in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so it reminds us that, and I started with this because I wanted to note that kindness is a characteristic of the life of Christ. And that's where it starts, inside us. And then it will come out in the words we say and the way we say them as well. The things that we say and the way that we say them. Sometimes people don't realize, we don't think about how we say things. Sometimes we think, I said that, and it was nice, but we said it in a way that wasn't very nice. It's both what we say and how we say it as well that matter. But in her tongue, there is the law of kindness. When I thought about that being referred to as the law of kindness, it just occurred to me that it's like something that has to be. And it has to be because if we are growing, if we are maturing spiritually, and we're talking about this woman and her maturity, then that means that the life of Christ is maturing in us. And so it must be, because kindness is one of the characteristics of that life of Christ. Colossians, the third chapter. Let's look at this real quick. In this chapter 3 of Colossians, he tells us about putting on some things and putting off some things. He speaks about, in verse 12, I think is where I'm going to start. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. So he reminds us who this is for, God's people. He says, put on, therefore, this is the life of Christ he's speaking of, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If a man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Put on, therefore, we are, again, as we are maturing spiritually, that life of Christ is becoming more and more visible. And so there will be kindness demonstrated from us, both in our actions and in particular in our words. And I say in our words, because words are important. I have to admit, I always thought people shouldn't be so easily hurt by words, but it is clear, very, very clear, that words are very, very damaging, or can be, I should say, very, very damaging. It's amazing to me the strength of words. James speaks, he has a whole chapter on the tongue because of the damage that it can do. And so, again, we want the Holy Spirit to be in control of what comes out of our mouth. Back in our chapter, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And so she knows when to speak and what to say, and when she speaks, it is with wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? Well, we've had a lot of study on that so far, so wisdom comes from God's word, of course. And so we know how to open our mouth with wisdom. Verse 27 of our chapter says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. And when I read this, it occurred to me, again, I'm thinking about how she's maturing. This is a woman that is matured, and it says she looketh well to the ways of her household. Now, we've seen a lot of this as we studied up above, the things that she does. But here it just stood out to me, the thought about her, when it says she looketh, it means that she pays attention, and she takes care. She has a care for the ways and the things pertinent to her household. And it reminded me, something we're going to read, it seems like we've been reading a lot lately, Philippians, the second chapter. It reminded me of what Paul says in the second chapter of Philippians. Seems like I've come back to this an awful lot in recent weeks. Maybe there's something important to learn here. Verse 19 of Philippians 2, Paul says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And I'm just going to read that slightly differently. Who will naturally look after the ways of the household. Right? A young man, Timothy. Sorry. A young man, Timothy, and he had a care for the saints. And Paul, as he writes, he has a care for the saints. And we see that this thought coming out, she looks well. In other words, carefully to the ways of her household, the things that matter for her household. And the second part of this verse helps us understand that it's also where's I going with that? Oh, it's also that she is active. Man, all that just kind of took my mind away for a minute. I'm back again. It's also that she is active in this. Wow. Okay, we're going to go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians. I'm going to make it through tonight. The Lord is always faithful. I've always found that out. Colossians, the fourth chapter. Here's another one. And I appreciate this. You know, Paul writes these things about these ones, and I appreciate this because I think there's important things for us to learn. He says in verse 12 of Colossians 4, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and for them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. And so here's another one, Epaphras. And notice, by the way, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. This goes with what I was thinking when I read that, you know, that she doesn't eat the bread of idleness. Now, I want to be careful that we don't get the idea that, well, you can't ever take a break. you know, we need a break from different things at different times. But, you know, the idea about praying fervently always, it doesn't mean that you're 24/7, you're on your knees praying about this whole thing. I said this morning, it's really an attitude of prayer that's in our heart. We're continually ongoing, right? Day to day, moment to moment, fellowship with our Father, right? We had some thoughts about prayer out of our Sunday school lesson this morning and a couple of different aspects of prayer, and we'll get to the third one next Sunday morning. But so it says she looketh well to the ways of her household. She has a great care for the people of God. This one that is going to be the bride. Those that think that they can not care about the rest of God's people and that they will be a part of the bride, they're mistaken, because she cares about the people of God. She cares about his household. And it says, eateth not the bread of idleness. And so as we saw with Epaphras there, in prayer, because really that's how we accomplish things. See, sometimes we think we accomplish things by getting up and doing something. And of course, we obviously have to do something, but how we really accomplish something is in prayer. That's where it all starts. We've had that thought this morning. You know, there's a reason when we come together in our meeting, we start with prayer. We want to accomplish something here. Well, we could all do something or put something together, but it's amazing how it comes together when we start out with prayer and let the Holy Spirit be the one. And so prayer is how we accomplish things. I want to go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter now. Just reminder here that about not eating the bread of idleness. It says in Ephesians 5 and verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. I'm not going to turn to it, but in Colossians 4:5, he also makes that statement, redeeming the time. In other words, making use of the time in a valuable way. And what is more valuable than looking after and caring about God's people? And so One of the best and easiest ways for us to be able to do that is to pray for God's people. We had that thought this morning about praying for the saints everywhere. You can go to the second chapter of 1 Timothy if you want to and read the first few verses there, and you'll get a little bit of understanding about what our lesson was this morning. Back in our chapter 31 of Proverbs, so we're seeing her mature, her wisdom as she speaks, the kindness, and then her care about God's people. And then it says in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. She definitely is blessed. And it's recognized. It's noticed. And her husband also, and he praiseth her. Do you recognize, do you understand our Lord and the value that he places on his bride? The value that he places on his bride. In Ephesians, we're told that he loved her so much, he died for her. The value. And you know, he notices when she is maturing. He notices when she is becoming that beautiful woman and useful, by the way. We're going to see a little bit of thought about that here in just a second, but he notices that. I don't really know how to express this. I just hope that you can think about what it means that he would praise her. I mean, he deserves all praise. And so it's hard to wrap your mind around the fact that he has praise for her because she is so important to him. And she is so important to him because she has allowed him to do the work in her life that needs to be done so that she can be that important to him. I hope you're getting this. Sometimes it's hard to just, you know, kind of think about it, and it kind of overwhelms you a little bit. But Selah, I guess, think about that, about what that really means. Verse 29 says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. See, she's above all because she has not just done a little bit, but she is complete. So Paul speaks an awful lot about completion, about coming. He uses the word perfect often, and that word has a thought about being complete. And this is really the difference here. See, there are many who have done virtuously. There are many who are saved, and many who maybe to some extent or another have yielded their lives to the Lord in some way, but they haven't gone all the way. And they haven't allowed him to complete what he has started. And Paul speaks about how important that is, that he will finish what he has begun in us. And we need to be willing vessels for that. Verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty that is vain. I think another translation there, the word favor, because we don't quite use it that way anymore, but it speaks about gracefulness, being graceful, and beauty, those things. And so the thought here really is gracefulness and beauty. Those are things that people are looking for. And I thought about this, how often we're looking for the world to see something in us a certain way we want it to be, right? We want to be seen and known in a certain way by the world, it's important. But all that's, it's deceitful and it's vain, it's empty. But what is valuable? It says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A lot of God's people are busy trying to be part of the world and noticed by the world and beautiful in the terms of the world's beauty, right? The way and I'm not just speaking about the external beauty, but just in a general sense of being the way the world wants them to be. And all of that is empty and deceitful, but the one that fears the Lord, and we've had so much thought about that through these Proverbs, fearing the Lord, that reverence of him. See, she can't be completed. She can't be that virtuous woman except she allow him to complete the work. We had the thought this morning about how we need to trust completely and utterly in him and cast out any confidence in the flesh. And that's really where that thought about beauty and grace comes from, is that when we begin to confide in our, have confidence in our flesh and what we can make of ourselves. But see, she has recognized that he is the only one that can do this. It is only by his grace. What a great message we had this morning about God's grace. And I felt that, you know, when it was over, that Erling just barely got started on scratching that one, because there was so much there about grace and God's grace. It's so important. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Why? Because she's going to be his workmanship, completed. And then it says in verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, she's going to stand one day, as we saw there in Revelation last time, clothed in that fine white linen, which is the righteous acts of the saints, and standing by the King of Kings as his bride. He's known in the gates. And, you know, I thought about, you know, in the old times, that thought about being known in the gates, you know, the important men of the city would come to the gates, and they were known there, and they conducted city business, if you will, there. And I just imagine this husband, and he speaks highly about his wife. You know, in Ephesians, it tells us that he's going to put us on display, on display. You remember what God said there in the first part of Job? Hey, have you seen my servant Job? Right? Have you seen my servant Job? And you know, he's going to put her on display because she is the accomplishment of his grace and of his workmanship, because she has been willing to allow him to complete her. I also came to Esther as I was thinking about that this week, you know, and how that out of all those beautiful women, Esther was chosen. And if you remember, Esther allowed that eunuch, she allowed him to prepare her exactly the way she needed to be prepared. She was willing to let him do what needed to be done. We can try a lot to create our own beauty, our own grace, and we will fail. But those that choose to allow him to work in their lives and to finish what he has started, to complete that work, they will be put on display. And you say, well, that seems like a kind of a silly thing. Oh, I don't think so. You know, when he puts us on display, it's bringing glory to him. It's bringing honor to him. As we went through that chapter and considered that virtuous woman, that is one of the things that we noticed, is her husband, he had confidence in her. She brought glory and honor to him. And he praises her for that. There's nothing of more value, of more importance than this. That God is preparing a bride for his son. And we want to be amongst those. We should have a great desire for that, to be amongst those. And so this chapter has given us some characteristics and given us some understanding about the work that is going on in her life as she is being prepared. I've thoroughly enjoyed all the study of Proverbs, but just thoroughly enjoyed this chapter. It's so good, and there's so much meat in there. Are there any questions or comments tonight?
A verse came to mind. I can't find it, but it says, the effective fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And I
No, actually, it's in James, and we had it this morning.
Oh, okay.
So I remember it because I had it this morning in my lesson. So
no wonder I couldn't find it.
It's in James. Bible. Yes, that's correct. The fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous availeth much. Yeah, we had our lesson this morning really was on prayer, and so we had that verse in our lesson. Amen. Yes.
Even among secular peoples, this thought that the time we might have 15 minutes of fame is fleeting.
Yeah.